Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It is that time again. It's time for the Cherries Takeover. And I must admit, this show is going from strength to strength because not only am I joined by the one and only, the brilliant Alex Deutsch. Well, Bournemouth, back-to-back wins. That is as many as they've had in the last 17 games. Unbelievable stuff. Alex, what a time to do the show. You must be absolutely loving it, my friend.
Yeah, I think weeks start a lot better when Bournemouth have won, to be honest. And I have to be honest, I was forgetting what it felt like, to be honest with you. It's just been a really positive couple of weeks. I know it was sort of punctuated with a disappointing loss in the week against Arsenal. But even after that result, I thought that we had the momentum from the Brighton game. And I felt that the spirit in the club had really been lifted from that Brighton game, and that really showed. I think I've come on the show so many times and said how badly we started and that we never really got our rhythm and never really got our grip. Well, you know, it was different on Saturday, and I felt we started really well and we carried that on, and the tempo and the pace and just the way we approached the game was so positive. And I mean, that was really great to see considering how many negative conversations we've had, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even think we've had that many negative conversations. We've always looked for that positive note. We've been realistic about the situation in front of us. But we're talking about back-to-back wins now, Alex. And we know, obviously, the disappointment in the cup. But the prize and the aim has always been Premier League survival for the Cherries. But it is back-to-back wins in the Premier League. And there's so much positivity to talk about. The feeling around the club now, I'm across your social media. You mentioned possibly, Alex, the best atmosphere at Dean Court that you've seen in quite some time.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, it was rocking. You can probably hear from my voice. it's still not quite recovered.
We appreciate you coming on still.
No, not at all. The atmosphere against the Watford game, even though the result didn't quite follow it, was really good. The atmosphere against Brighton was superb, but the atmosphere against Villa was like a cup final. It was from beginning to end, even when things were looking a little bit shaky and Lerma got sent off and we were thinking, oh no, gonna Bournemouth it. The atmosphere just kept up, and the fans really, really, really got behind them. And thankfully, the players rewarded the fans and the fans rewarded the players. And it was just a nice, it felt like Bournemouth again.
Yeah, absolutely. They didn't Bournemouth it, or maybe the new Bournemouth it could be the winning kind. Alex, we spoke about on this show that we just need a lucky goal in off the shin, in off the backside, something to spark the side, the confidence and galvanise the players. And we've seen now that win against Brighton, carrying it over into the game with Aston Villa and against two teams that are in and around you. And, you know, the so-called cliche 6-pointers, well, you've got 6 points overall, and it's done massive in terms of confidence, momentum and everything for the side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, it's just the manner of the wins and just the fight and the heart. And you know, it's not been perfect. And when Lerma got sent off, I think the entire stadium could have been forgiven to think, you know, maybe they don't, maybe are they going to have the heart to really follow this through? But they did. They put everything they had on the line. And I mean, Ryan Fraser came out in the week and said that, basically admitted that in an audio recording that he hadn't really been trying for the first 4 months of the season, and that you know, the contract speculation had turned his head a bit, and that led to fury across the fan base, if I'm honest with you, including from me. I didn't think it was acceptable, but that he played the game on Saturday against Villa with, like the old Ryan Fraser, he was so driven, and he was so full of intent, and he won a lot of fans back from that performance. And funnily enough, that had a real impact on Callum Wilson's showing as well. And Callum looked far more up for it, and it leads you to maybe think that their form is really closely correlated, I think.
Yeah, and just on those Ryan Fraser comments, obviously, I have to admit, even from an outside perspective, Alex, that I was really surprised. And I know it's in a day and age when we ask for honesty from the players, too much PR speak, transparency. This isn't what fans want to hear, that a player being paid whatever he's paid in and wearing that shirt and that badge with pride, ultimately saying he doesn't care, he wasn't trying. And, you know, we can all have our head turned, but the fact that he still wasn't trying for the club, it was quite a blow for fans to take. But then ultimately, as you mentioned on Saturday, not just a good performance, a man of the match performance.
Yeah, he was really, really strong. And he was one of the man of the matches, if I'm honest with you. And interestingly, when things haven't been going so well, you always get a lot of fans piping up saying, "No, see, we warned you about this player. We warned you about Philip Billing as one of the players they were talking about. When things get tough, he downed tools." They said that that's what they did for him. Where, I mean, his performance was astonishing. I think it was one of the best performances I've seen him have. And you know, it was a backs against the wall situation for him, so you know, perhaps that attack on his character isn't exactly fair either. The Ryan Fraser article, there is an element that you do have to respect the honesty that he's come out. I'm not sure it was something that was necessary to say. I think a lot of fans had their suspicions that was the case, but the only way he could have possibly resolved that situation is by backing it up with actions, and that is exactly what he did. He was very good, and he was very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing that belief now with the fans and the players itself staying on the pitch afterwards in a form of a huddle and really kicking each other on, gearing up for that next fight. We've spoke about with you, Alex, the best atmosphere at Dean Court, and there was questions, there was rumours. We spoke about on this show, has Eddie Howe possibly lost the dressing room? And now we're seeing it, and because he questioned himself, there was a moment of self-reflection saying that, has he worked hard enough? You know, is he the right man to lead him forward? Of course he is. He's Mr. Bournemouth, and he never lost that dressing room for 1 minute, did he, Alex?
No. I mean, I think our conversations were certainly discussing the possibility, but from a personal level, I never thought he'd lost the dressing room. It was a fear in the back of my mind that, you know, if he had, where I would sit with that ethically, because I don't believe that players should just stop trying just because they things are getting tough, and I don't really like the idea of a manager losing the dressing room, particularly not a manager who's done so much for the club and who has such a gigantic say in the day-to-day running. But it's apparent, it's really clear that was never the case. It was just perhaps an overall lack of confidence and a form dropping in certain players that ultimately led to a group drop in form. I'm pleased to have been proved right that Eddie. Well, I say pleased to be proved right. There's not been much. You know, it's been a couple of games, and we can't really get ahead of ourselves. Mm. But I'll always believe that Eddie House, the man to lead us. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. Not out of the woods yet, Alex, but some light through the trees, that is for sure. Just quickly, looking at the games, I've taken kind of a deep dive into Bournemouth. You know, we do the fan show. I want to get it right, Alex. Noticing that when Bournemouth score that first goal, it's so vitally important. When they have done that, they've won 6 games, drawn 2, and only lost 1. They take the lead on the weekend, and true to those stats, they go on to win the game.
Yeah, and I think that must be down to confidence. Again, Eddie is in a unique position where he has to convince these players that they're not too good to go down, but they're also capable of something more. And I reckon that when you're trying to motivate yourself, that can be a really difficult place. Am I better than this position? And should I or should I have to work harder to be more? It's a really difficult place to be, and if anyone could communicate that message, like I said, I think it's Eddie, and yeah, I think, like you said, we're not out of the woods, but there was just so many signs that Bournemouth were back.
Yeah, they are back-to-back wins. It's really interesting as the season kicks off. I want to talk about, obviously, the return of Tyrone Mings as well, now playing for Aston Villa, former Bournemouth player. There was a little bit of booing. I believe it was in the minority. Not really quite sure why, but he showed his class after the game. He was the only player from the Villa side staying on, talking to the Bournemouth players, shaking the hands. Clearly, the club still have a place in his heart.
Yeah, I don't think that that his transfer away was anything other than the fact that he couldn't get into the team above Nathan Ake. I think that's all it was. It certainly wasn't that he was desperate for a move away or he would rather play for anyone else. It was more a case that he wanted the opportunity to play football in an important time of his career. And sometimes you can go to a club like Aston Villa, who were gigantic, and they can just love you from the second you get there, and that can be a real real boost to your own confidence. I think when he was with us, obviously he had that horrific injury, and then from that point he had a lot of proving to do. He had to prove that he was a record signing for us, and he had to prove to the fans and everyone that he was deserving of his place. Well, when he went to Villa, he was already considered a bit of a legend, and they really loved him and took him to their hearts. And sometimes a transfer works out for everyone. I felt we got a really good fee for a player who wasn't playing, and they got a player that's arguably worth more than 25 million because he was pivotal in their promotion. And he got to go to a team that loved him and appreciate him, and I think everyone won. So I was a bit confused about the booing. I personally really like the guy. Any Bournemouth fan listening will be rolling their eyes because I never stopped talking about the story, but yeah.
Well, no, we're obviously fans are mixed on that one. Alex, I want to look now towards that game with Sheffield United, and I know some fans have tweeted you in their questions. I've got them at the ready, and I want to talk about that very late bid from Manchester United coming after Josh King.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by my co-host Alex Deutsch, talking everything where the cherries are concerned. And you can have your say tonight. Put a question to myself or Alex and we can share your cherries views. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. We were just talking about the brilliant back-to-back wins. That is as many wins as Bournemouth had in their last 17 league games. Starting to turn that corner. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But Alex, obviously speaking to you last Monday before the transfer window closed, the silly season is over. We thought no activity. It's come to a natural end, a quiet conclusion for Bournemouth. Not to be, a very, very late bid for Man United for Josh King. Didn't quite happen, didn't get over the line. Bournemouth, obviously, and rightly so, wanted a big fee because they were left with no time to find a replacement. What did you make of it all, and how did the Bournemouth fans feel?
Oh, my heart sank. He's one of my favourite players. I think he's a hugely underrated footballer. I think he's got so much flair about him, so much power and pace that, it would have been a very good signing for United. I could see why they'd want him. It's a tricky one because actually when Callum Wilson was out for the long period he was with his double ACL injury, injury on two separate occasions, Josh King stepped up and he played the Callum Wilson role, and he scored lots and lots of goals. In fact, he's I was having an argument with someone the other day, but he scored more goals than Marcus Rashford in the Premier League in the season that he's been in the Premier League. So you can see why they were looking at him. And not being funny, but if United come knocking on the door, your head does turn, doesn't it? He joined there when he was 16. I think he was there when he was 16, and he really loves that club. So I could see why he would be interested. I think anyone would, but thankfully they we commanded a bit too much of a fee for him. And rightly so, because he is really important to us.
Yeah, rightly so. Bournemouth kind of did the same this summer when maybe Leicester were in for Nathan Ake and, you know, as a replacement for Maguire. And Bournemouth said, well, this is the price. It didn't quite happen. You mentioned, though, the turning of the head, and we just spoke about it at length with what happened to Ryan Fraser. Could we see now something similar, perhaps, with Josh King?
I don't know. I think that this isn't a case of Bournemouth not letting him go. This, in my opinion, this is a club who've come in, and United have sorely undervalued him. And in my opinion, I think if I'm a player, I'd be a little bit offensive. Like, do you want me or not? Am I worth this to you or not? So, no, I think he's been linked with clubs before, and I think he'll be linked with clubs again. I do think that. There's a strong possibility that he will go, because I think he has stated before he wants to play European football, and I think he deserves the opportunity. We've got to remember that despite Eddie's apparent dreadful transfer record, we signed him for $1 million, and now we're commanding, you know, 40 million plus fee for him. So I think that's another tick box in Eddie's transfers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Another correct one. And we both know the recruitment has been highly questioned by several parts of a circle outside of Bournemouth. Just quickly, you have added a question into the show. This coming from Mark Jackson. Thank you, Mark, obviously, for your question. Mark saying, Alex, do you think the threat of relegation has brought everyone at the club back closer together after 4 years of relatively stress-free football?
Yeah, I do. I think that no one wants to be relegated. But Bournemouth are at a bit of a funny stage in their Premier League career, where you're questioning what can we actually expect this year. You know, can we expect us to push for Europe, or are we expected to get excited about a 12th place finish instead of a 13th place finish? I mean, it really depends what you go to the football for. I don't go to the football to get excited about, you know, an extra £1 million worth of revenue from a club. I go to the football in the hope of winning games that matter. And all of a sudden, despite it being a horrible situation and you know, it's nervy times for a lot of people, there is something to celebrate about when a goal goes in. There is the games matter. And you know, you can't underestimate the impact that has on fans, and all of a sudden it's all you can think about, and you're examining the Premier League table, and people are filling out fixture calculators to see if we'll make it. And like I said, football means something again for a bit, and it's a really, really weird feeling for me to be desperate. You know, I desperately don't want to get relegated, but at the same time, I do want to go to a football match and it actually matter, and us not to, our season not to be over by March, and you know, there actually be something to care about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's such an interesting point of view there. When do we as fans care about the extra million in the pocket and everything that surrounds the club? And just quickly, Alex, forgot to ask, on the game on the weekend, obviously Lerma sent off. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you'll care or not, did the Aston Villa fan show earlier, and he was said the ref had a terrible game, Taylor, and he actually didn't believe that Lerma's was a sending off. I know that Eddie Howe felt the same way. What did you make of it all?
No, I think that's a really fair assessment. I don't think it was a sending off. I think there is a possibility that these referees, as much as I truly believe they are, they do go into games you know, unbiased, and I don't believe that they want either team to win. There is something called where they could be swayed by things they already know, and I think they know that Lerma gets a lot, many yellow cards. He was on his ninth at that time of game, and I think subconsciously they look out for players like that, and they get on them quite early on. I don't think neither of the yellow cards were yellows, and I think it was a shocking error to send him off. And you know, potentially if we didn't have the if we didn't fight as well as we did, and if we weren't so resolute, that could be a relegation decision. That could be a decision that could condemn us to the Championship, and an incorrect decision. I think it's a fair assessment to say that neither of them should be yellow, and it was extremely harsh. But it was good to see a unity and everyone saying, no, we don't agree with that. We didn't agree with it.
Yeah, the Villa fans, even though that went their way, saying that Taylor maybe was trying to make it about himself. It is back-to-back wins. There is a game on the weekend before Bournemouth have their win to break, the first of any kind introduced to the Premier League. We'll cover that next week and what that can mean for Bournemouth. Has it come at the right time? They're hoping to make it a hat-trick of wins. Sheffield United really going well, though, this season, sort of earning many plaudits. What are you making of this one before a chance to recharge their batteries?
I think I think that will be really, really tough. Sheffield United, like you said, they've surprised a lot of people. I suppose they surprised the people who don't know the ins and outs of the club, like me. I imagine a lot of the Sheffield United fans are not surprised at all. And they've got a really good manager, and they've got a style of play that works for them. And they're doing brilliantly, which makes me think that it will be a very, very tough game. And I would, at this stage, snap your hand off for a point. But you don't know. We've got momentum. We've got that newfound belief. We might see a return of a couple of injured players. Maybe King, perhaps. So maybe that could be a boost for us. I don't want to underestimate Sheffield United at all. I think they're a really good side, and their position is not a false one. It's one that they've deserved and warranted.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going well this season, but Bournemouth will have the confidence with them. They'll have the momentum. It is the last game before a little break, although it is away. Can we see a hat-trick here? Because the feeling, like we've said, especially outside and I'm sure inside the club, Alex, it has changed.
Yeah, no, and I think it is possible. I think the last two results have not been perfect. They've been perfect results, sorry, but the performances themselves have not been perfect, and the players will know they've got a little bit to work on. But no, the signs are there, and we had been discussing it. We were just saying we just needed something. We just needed just a little turn, and we might start seeing it click again. And it is clicking again. Some of the football we played against Villa was really, really sharp and really attacking and back to the best. And when I've said before, when we are playing football at our best, we are a match for anyone. Just unfortunately, that hasn't happened so often in the last year. But there is absolutely no reason that Bournemouth can't go to Sheffield United and get a win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alex, I interrupted there. Just quickly then, before we go, what is your score prediction?
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. It'll be a good point, though, against Sheffield United, who are going well. Point, yeah. 7 points from 9. Alex, always, my time with you is far too short. One I enjoy. I look forward to not only the game, but chatting with you next week. Please check out Alex Deutsch for all your extra cherries content. And this has been the Bournemouth Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, and Alex. We will see you, as we will every week, and you can join in at the same time next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.